There we go. Hello, everyone. All right, so a little time has passed. I came, obviously, this last summer, and I was your intern. But now I'm back, and the Lord has done a good thing. I got a girlfriend, so that was pretty cool. And I finished off my last semester of school as well. That was the other good thing. And the Lord really worked a lot of good things out there towards the end. I got to finish strong. I'm walking in May for my graduation, so just everything went really well. So if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. So I finished going to school, and I was praying, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do for this next couple months? Because I knew I didn't want to jump right into a ministry. I knew I just needed a little bit of time to just kind of slow down and recalibrate to the life outside of school and just to repace myself. And I had the thought of traveling around the country and just sleeping in the back of my minivan and just kind of having an adventure like that. But as I was praying about it, I just felt like it wasn't what the Lord wanted me to do. And then he put something on my heart, and it was to pray through the entire Bible in 1 month. And I'm not a very quick reader, so that was a challenge. And I did it. And the Lord really showed me a lot of cool things. He gave me not just a different perspective on just how he works, but he actually showed me part of his personality. And he showed me part of his nature, that of which I had not seen before. And I highly recommend that you could do it if you have the time. But it, just being able to read that much gives you just a sense and a pace, and just gives you a different view on the narrative of God and his nature. And one of the perspectives I want us to look at today is God's grace, because that is woven throughout the entire Bible. This book is a book of reconciliation, where time after time, you know, man, we're just sinful people. We mess up. We keep messing up, and whether it be through sin or whether it be through just disobedience to him, time after time we are met with either the justice of God or the grace of God. And it's this reconciliation is whenever he takes these just normal humans, just like you and me, and you know they make mistakes, and then he says, hey, listen, come on back. Let's do this again. Let's try it. Get back up. And they come to him. And God uses them. And it was just a beautiful time, and I'm very happy. But today we are going to be considering God's grace. And the difference today, because it's kind of funny that Pastor Farley talked about forgiveness earlier today, and I believe that comes from mercy and grace. And I think the difference between grace and mercy is grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. And mercy is when God does not give us what we do deserve, okay? So today we're going to be talking about grace, and what another way to describe it is unmerited favor. It's where we receive something that we don't deserve. You've heard stories about people that they're on the road, and maybe this happened to you, and you know you're busting down the road, and you're going over the speed limit, you're breaking the law, and a cop pulls them over, right? But instead of giving this person a ticket, he gives them a warning instead. That's grace. Because he should have given them a ticket, which is mercy, but then instead he just gives them a warning, which is better. So that's grace. And obviously you hear the word grace whenever it comes to the idea of paying bills, because you have that thing called a grace period, where they give you a little bit of extra time just so you can make that payment, just so you have a little bit of leniency. And all of that just is a good thing. And God's grace is received many different ways. It's mercy, it's salvation, it's guidance. Just even life itself is grace. And restoration is grace. And having those first and second chances, that's grace. And for some of us, having the 10,000th chances, you know, that's grace as well. And God is a gracious God, and he's always giving. And today we're in Luke chapter 15, and if you found your place, I'm going to read a little bit. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, and he speaketh this parable unto them. And now we're going to skip the first two parables because they're all alike, but I want us to focus in on verse 11. It says, And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them up unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. All right, let's pray and we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for today. And Lord, I ask that you would just be with each one of us. I know some of us are starting to come down with some sickness and the allergies. And Lord, I just ask that would all subside for this service. And Lord, I ask that you would just give us ears to hear. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. And that each one of us would contemplate your grace and the gift that you give us through that. And Lord, I ask to be a vessel now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13, it says, And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took a journey into a far country. He went off into this land, a land that he thought that he could get away with stuff. He went away from his parents. He went away from all that he knew. And he went and he lived a life for himself. And it says that he spent it in riotous living. And, you know, later on in the passage, it talks about how he spent his entire money on harlots and such like that. And I think it is so incredibly prevalent that so many people try to live that life here in America and all over the world. You know, they want to live the life that they want to live. And they don't care what their parents say. They don't care what they know to be right. They want to go and do what their heart tells them to do. And they want to live in that far-off land where they think they're getting away with it. But we know that God sees all things. And he devoured his life through harlots and this riotous living. And he was enjoying it. And he was enjoying it so much so that the next verse says, And he had spent all. And is that not the nature of sin? That is the nature of sin. It's sin. There's a quote that says, Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Right. You know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Sometimes we get in our minds, we think, okay, I can go and do this, and no one will ever know about it. And I know I'm speaking to an older congregation, for some, you know, comparatively to me, but you guys are spring chickens. Forgive me for saying that. No, but I don't mean to come across disrespectfully, but we all sin. It's not even a matter of respect or not respecting. It's we're all just humans. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes we get stuck in this rut of sin and we don't even realize it. Whether it be pride, whether it be anger, whether it be lust, whether, you know, whatever it may be, we get stuck in this cycle of sin, and sometimes we don't even know that we're there. And this young man, he thought that he could just go off in this far-off land, and he thought that he could just live any way that he wanted, and that he was going to get away with it. But we see later on in the story that when that season of pleasure ended, the thrills, they kind of stopped. And, you know, his joy, his pleasure dried up. And every reason that he thought was, you know, a justifiable excuse for him to be there all seemed like foolishness. Because watch what happens next. It says that in verse 15, it says, And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, for a Jewish person, that was a great... It was a great thing of humility to be hired not just by a Gentile, but also to be a pig farmer, because, you know, pigs were considered to be unclean in the Old Testament. They even tried to not even touch them, just because they wanted to be clean so that they could worship. But this man is now having to feed the hogs. And if you've ever, I mean, I'm not a farmer or the son of a farmer, but I've seen, you know, hogs getting slopped, and it's kind of a disgusting thing, because, you know, they take, pretty much what it is, you know, all the leftover foods that they have, they throw it in a dish, and they let the hogs, you know, and they slop it up, and it's, you know, the hogs, they love it, but it's kind of disgusting. And this young man, he got so low in life that he was willing to eat the husk that the pigs were eating. He was willing to eat that slop. That's how low in life he got. And I wonder today, how many of you have been there, or maybe are there right now, and you're slopping up the sin of life, and you're just wallowing in it. And, you know, I know sometimes we have those moments in life, and I'm sure you can think back to it, and sometimes we fall into that hog slopping period of time. Of sin, and we step out of it, we make right decisions, but we hold on to it in our hearts, and we think about it, and it becomes a guilt. And I wonder how many of you are in that mode of life right now, where you're right with God, but you let that past weigh you down. Guilt is something that I think many of us deal with. But it's something that must be addressed, because guilt is sometimes you not having faith in God, and guilt is a bridle, and it holds you back from being all that you could be. Verse 17 tells us our way out, and there is only one way out of this. And he says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" How many of you have came to yourself? I'll just give you a funny illustration of it. One time I was with my mom, and she had this bad habit of doing the same thing over and over again, of she would take me shopping, but she wouldn't feed me lunch first, right? You know what I'm talking about. And I'd be there, and we'd be shopping, and she'd be like, "Try this on, try this on, try this on, try this on, try this on." And already I'm like, already there. But, you know, and all of a sudden I would just become really agitated, and I would be like, man, I'm just like, I don't know why I'm so angry right now. Why am I, I'm like, my blood pressure's rising, like I'm feeling a little bit fatigued. I don't even know what's going on with myself. And then I just came to myself, and I was like, oh, I haven't eaten food, and I'm being abused. No, I'm just kidding about that last part. But, you know, you just come to that second, and you're like, hold on, and you come to yourself. And you have a moment where you realize, what am I doing? And that's what this man had happen here. He said, what am I doing? I'm considering eating the slop from the pigs whenever I could be a servant at my father's house. Even my father's servants, they eat food. They eat bread. Verse 18 says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he did what every brokenhearted, every lost, dilapidated person in life can and should do. He said, "I will go to my father. I will look to him. I will go to my father." Verse 18 says, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." This man said, "I will go, and I will repent. I will repent to my father. And, you know, even though I've done wrong, and I'm not even worthy to be called his son, I'm going to go do it, because there is restoration. There is at least bread and substance for me." Repentance is not a high and mighty, boisterous act. It's a broken and contrite heart. It's a heart that comes to the Father and says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am unclean. I have sinned. Father, forgive me, for I am not worthy. I'm not worthy of your forgiveness, but I'm asking for it." And I want you to pay careful attention, because many Christians get this wrong. This next part, verse 20. And it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." That should stir you, folks. I want you guys to say something with me. Verse 24. Oh, wait, hold on. Verse 20, it says, "And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off." Say that with me. Great way off. A great way off. What does that mean? That means that his father had forgiven him before he came back. I want you guys to grab a hold of this, okay? We sin, we mess up, but Jesus Christ died for those sins. And he forgave us 2,000 years ago, okay? He already forgave us. So what's our responsibility? To go to the Father and to say, "Lord, forgive me, for I am undone. Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned." It's not about what we can do. That is not where salvation comes from. You know, all the other religions in the world, they say you have to do some great feat, or you have to, you know, you have to do penance because you've sinned. You have to do this or that because you've sinned. But our God says, "No, I've actually already done it. You just need to come to me and acknowledge that." And today I wonder if there's anyone here that's maybe not saved and they've never gone to God and ask for forgiveness of sins and repented of their sins. But I also want to challenge those of you who have, who are already Christians, who are already saved. Because sometimes, you know, we get saved and we mess up afterwards, and we get it in our minds that we have to do penance for those sins. But it's still the same God. He's still gracious towards us, and he's already forgiven us of those sins. It's the same recipe, though, for restoration, and it's go to the Father. And you know, he's seen us a great way off, and he's already forgiven us. You know, the father in this story, he could have seen his son and said, you know, "Oh, there's my, you know, dumb son that left and took all the money." You know, he could have said, "Hey, you know, you're going to have to work, you know, you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to prove to me your love before I let you back in this house." But he didn't. It says that he's seen him a great way off. And not just did he do that, he gave him a new apparel. He gave him clothes. He gave him shoes. He gave him a whole feast. You know, that's what God wants to do in your life. You know, right now you may be in a spot and you're living in sin and you know it and you're not living as you should. You know what the recipe is? Go to the Father. There is so much grace there. God's grace is enough for anything you've done. I don't care if you're a crackhead that comes to church thinking he's going to get brownie points with God, or you're a senior saint that's been here for 50 years. God's grace is enough for each. And God's grace is there. And you may find yourself in that pig pen of life, eating the slop of the world, but you can always look to your Heavenly Father. You can always say, "God, forgive me." And you know what you're going to find? My son, my child, come to me. every time. There's not one time in this entire Bible that I saw where someone came to repent to God and he rejected them. Every time that someone came to him and they bowed the knee to him, he was right there and he said, "All right." And he restored it right there. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. This is just kind of some bonus verses on top of the message. It says in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." That grace makes us accepted to God, acceptable in God's sight. Verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." Is that not a great way to say that? The riches of his grace? It's like, in my mind, whenever I hear the riches of his grace, I just imagine an entire, you know, just room just full of gold. And that's the way God's grace is. It's not just a room full of gold, though. It's like way beyond that, because God's grace is dependent on God's love. God is love. Anybody? Amen? God is love. And if it's dependent on his love, he is love. So God is gracious as well. Let's look in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1 through 3, and it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." So he's saying here, we've all been a part of this, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," can everyone say amen right there? Amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." By grace are ye saved. Look with me in verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Folks, we don't even have to do anything. All we have to do is go to him and repent. All we have to do is go to him and ask for forgiveness. It's right there. We have it so good. And we need to praise the Lord for that. Because our God is a loving God. Our God is so incredibly gracious. And I want to let us look at one more verse. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to check one more verse here at the end of chapter 3. Verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. His love passeth all knowledge, and that's why his grace knows no bound. There's grace for each one of us. So I'm asking you today to just contemplate in your life, either right now or in the past, and say, okay, have I accepted that grace? Have I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins? And then if you're saved, have you been living in that grace? You know, 2 Peter tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you been growing in that knowledge of who God is and what He's afforded to us through salvation? I want you guys to take time. I want you all to take time and think about that. And if you're here today and you're living in guilt of something that happened in the past, and you say, okay, well, I have grace and God's forgiven me for that, but you don't forgive yourself, then you're deeming yourself better than God. And God doesn't want you to hold on to those things because He doesn't hold on to them. And so I ask you today to contemplate those thoughts and to put them into action and to hold on and to grasp on to the grace of God and to just take it all in because He just gives it so abundantly. So we'll pray and then I'll hand it back over to Brother Farley. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for today. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the grace that You've given us. And Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never repented of their sins, they've never gotten right with You, and they're living in the wayward land, that they would come to You and that they would get saved. And Lord, I'm asking if there's any Christians here that have gone wayward, that You would just grab hold of their hearts and that when they come to You, that You would just show that open embrace. And Lord, we're so thankful that You have never turned anyone down, but that grace is abounding, grace is all around us, and Lord, we're just so thankful for that. And Lord, I ask that You would make Yourself extremely evident to everyone in this room. And Lord, we love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
And all God's people said, amen. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed for our prayer service. I'm going to ask George and Amanda to come up because I'd like for us to sing a hymn here at the close of our service because we have mission conference in front of us. Amen. And we've got some things to pray about and we've got some things to think about. But I also have an announcement just to make you all aware of. Right before I came to the service, I had the opportunity to go to Superior and visit with Miss Beverly Lundberg. Peggy's there and Jody's there. The hospice nurse said that it could be just a matter of time. Her breathing is very labored, and so Peggy thinks that she might pass really at any moment. So I would ask us all if we could pray for we don't need to pray for Miss Beverly, I don't think. She's going straight to a great place, and she wants to be there. She is, Peggy said, 102 and a half. And so she mentioned to me not long ago, she said, Pastor Farley, why does God still have me here? And I said, Miss Beverly, you're 102. You get to ask that question, you know. So you pray for we'll all pray for the whole family as they go through this time. I'm going to ask George to come and lead us in song.
Number 345 in your hymn book, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary.
Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the grace that is so freely offered to us through the cross of Christ. Lord, Brother Michael is so right It's there. It's already offered. We just need to take it. And those of us that have taken it, we need to be thankful for it. So thankful that we're willing to go and tell others, to tell the world that you came and bled and died to offer this valuable, wonderful grace. And Father, we get this week to have a missions conference that focuses on this very thing of taking the gospel to the world. But Lord, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We want to slow down just for a moment and pray for Miss Beverly Lundberg. We are so thankful that this same grace gives us hope for her. For us, Lord, it's just a temporary farewell. We will see Beverly again because we know that she's going to be with you. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. She's about to walk through a door. And I just am so thankful that she has a firm testimony in this very grace that we heard about tonight. We want to pray and lift up to you the Valdez family, Peggy and Jody, and all their family that are coming into town and gathering around Miss Beverly. I pray for the whole family that you would be close to them in their time of need. And help us, Lord, to reach out and to minister to the family as well. As we're dismissed to our missionary prayer time, I pray that you would make us mindful of all these things and keep us in prayer this week for the mission conference. We love you for it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.